The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 443. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Before I introduce my guest, I would like to just make a quick comment from many people who have been giving me compliments and sending comments my way about my C3 interviews. In fact, Robert Montserrat and Kelsey Crawford, these last couple of episodes have featured those fine folks. And I appreciate all the kind comments and all the compliments. I really do. I will say that there are going to be more coming. I think I did like 15 or 16 of the live streams, and each one of those individuals are going to get their own separate episode for the PVD Cast. I know some people say, John, isn't it a little bit of old news when you play these particular episodes? Well, it might be, but the way that I look at it is not only are we talking about a great organization, C3, so that brings it to the forefront of the conversation and maybe introduces it to many new folks. But also, you'll notice in each one of these live streams that I try to talk about the artists themselves and what they have going on as well. So just because the anthology's over, the crowdfunder's over, doesn't mean that these aren't going to be great episodes that you definitely want to check out. And with that being said, let's talk about my guest for this episode. He is a man who they call the Talking Machine. I'm going to be speaking with Alan Levine, the CEO and founder of Coliseum Combat Zone MMA. Now, this Pittsburgh-based MMA group is brand new. In fact, they will be hosting their inaugural event on September 14th, 2024. Doors open at 6, fights start at 7, and the event is held at the All-American Fieldhouse in Monroeville, Pennsylvania. And if you're like, I don't know where that is, John, it's an eastern suburb of Pittsburgh. So Alan came on and we chatted about the whole event itself, the various different matches. We get into why Alan decided to get involved in MMA, what one has to do to be a promoter. You know, our philosophies on promoting as well is thrown out there. You'll even hear a little bit about Pittsburgh Sportsline, which is a long-running sports talk show that Alan was the host of, and it's still going on. They just dropped a new episode the other week, so I think I made it sound like it's off air, but it's not. It's still alive and kicking, and we'll talk about that, and you're going to find out that Alan is quite a character, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. But before we get to that, I need to thank a great sponsor of this podcast, and of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. Look, you hear me say it all the time, that if you need a comic book store to call your own and you live in Central Ohio, then you have no excuse for not stopping over to the store and becoming a great patron. I tell you right now, they have everything you need for your comic book fandom. Single issues, they got them. Graphic novels, got them. Collections, got them. Hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, got them. Collectibles, got them. Toys, got them. I can go on and on and on, but you can just easily stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But I know there's some folks that say, hey, wait. I want to check out the store, but I live in Pittsburgh, for an example. All right, well, you can jump on the computer. WGComics.com is their web address. And they have a great Facebook page. That they're very active on it. Just search for @WGComics. And, you know, hey, if you come through Central Ohio, maybe you're taking a road trip to Indiana or Pennsylvania or Michigan or wherever, stop on over to the store and say hello to Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics. So I'm going to throw it to a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of that break, you're going to hear my conversation with the talking machine, Alan Levine. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down this evening with the man who they call the talking machine, Alan Levine. Alan, how you doing this evening?
Hey, John, first I got to tell you, thank you so much. I heard so many great things from Sharon about you. I'm glad you could arrange to squeeze me in before September 14th and my Coliseum Combat MMA promotion. You know, we're excited about doing this. I've been doing a sports show for years, and I know a lot of the MMA people plus other sports people in general. But how many guys do you know at 68 years old that are promoting MMA?
Well, you're the only one. I will say that. I will freely admit to that. So
now we can talk intelligently.
Well, so you are the CEO. You are the founder of Coliseum Combat Zone.
Yes.
Why did you decide to start a promotion? I guess is the biggest question before we start talking about the event that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Like, Alan, why?
I had a long career in a newspaper. I was a production worker, stacked bundles, put comics together. And I was supposed to be an architectural engineer and play small college football at Junietta. So 1974, now it's a little long story, but we'll get to why I do different things. So I thought I'd be an architectural engineer. My dad, first week of June, we graduate. He goes, Alan, when you turn 18 on June 30th, you can work at the Pittsburgh Press in a production department. Your grandfather founded the union. It's called a mailer union. Put comics together, stack 30-pound bundles, and anything you can do with a paper, mail it, send it across country, deliver it here. I go, Dad, I'm making $1.60 an hour. What will I make? 1974 now, 8.25.
Oh, wow.
I'm thinking I'm good on numbers. I'm like five times what I'm making now. I go into work. Now I'm in the best shape of my life. I was a starting center, going to play at Junietta, probably be a backup center. And I had to lift bundles up, put them on a moving belt with a main sheet down the belt, old school. They wrap them up, send them out to the Teamsters. And I'm putting two or three because I'm lifting them up. And they go, hey, kid. They're a few years older. They're calling me kid. They go, you're doing pretty good. And they go, you're going to be working with us. And I go, I'm working with you. They go, we're hiring in December or January three guys. I was number two. My dad never told me about the job, never told me and my three sisters and mom what he did. We just knew he worked at the newspaper. So lo and behold, I'll cut the story short. I get hired full time January 6, 1975, here's my education. I was like a round peg in a square hole. I worked with all kinds of different people, from alcoholics, drug addicts, drug dealers, people with multiple degrees, but they made good money at the newspapers because newspapers were making tons of money. So I worked that job for 36 years. I took a buyout 14 years ago, November 7th, and I said, I'm going to be famous. And I didn't know what I would do. So I started a magazine for a lady, Pet Connection, still in business, did some sales. Then a guy goes, you got a good voice and you know sports. How about you do a sports show on public access TV? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you ever been on TV? I said, I owned racehorses at the Meadows out in Washington. And there's this Roger Houston who's from Ohio. Legendary Roger Houston, the voice, he announces 100,000 races. And I got to the track. I'm friends with him at racehorses. I was on TV. I had horses and I had a good time, you know, being on TV with him, and he ran the show. So this guy goes, would you be interested? I said, that was a cool show when I was talking about horses. And I love sports. I come from a sports family. My uncle was on the first pro NBA team in Pittsburgh. And you won't believe the name, John, since you're an Ohio guy.
Oh.
1945. Do you have an idea?
No, I as soon as you say it, I'll know it because I.
You might know it. It's rare. It's called Pittsburgh Raiders. My uncle was on there.
Okay.
And we had this famous Myron Cope that announced sports. Yeah. You might have heard him.
Oh, I've heard of Myron.
My dad, you'll love this. My dad and uncle grew up in the Hill District with him. He lived on the bluff up near Duquesne University, and they mm-hmm. grew up together. And he called me and my uncle the Levine Boys, and his voice, the Levine Boys. And it was hilarious. And on his show, his talk show, he would talk about my uncle. Sid Levine was like the Bob Cousy of Pittsburgh. He's the best basketball player he knew. Mm-hmm. So that's the family I grew up in. So I played baseball and football, and I started my sports talk show, Pittsburgh Sports Line. I founded that. October 11, 2011. And a year or two later, some guys are going, hey, Al, what do you think of MMA? And I go, well, I like boxing better. And my son, it's like 1996, a few years before. He's 33 now, but he's a teenager. And he goes, Dad, watch this MMA. John, I watched it and I go, I didn't click. I looked at it and I go, I want to see the boxers up there. And I didn't like it one bit. So now, fast forward to 2012, people go, Al, you got to see these cage fights. Guess what? There's a group called Gladiators of the Cage. And I fell in love with MMA. I started interviewing guys like Chris Dempsey before he got in the UFC, Kama Worthy before he got in the UFC, Cody Garbrandt, what a beast he is.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed him. Before he beat Dom Mazzotta. He knocked him out in their fight. I was there. He made a mistake. Dom did. Cody kicked him. He knocked him out. And so I love that. You can interject anytime, but okay. I'm getting the build up here.
I want to interject for just a quick moment because you said in the mid 90s, late 90s, your son introduced you to MMA. That was probably about the, I like to call it the outlaw years, where there was, because I remember seeing commercials for UFC, and it was like no holds barred, anything goes. Tank Abbott and
Gracie tough man brother. Contest.
Yeah, and so I kind of didn't like I did. I liked it because it was like a car accident you had to watch, but in reality, I was like, that's not really a sport. Like that's, you know. But then you fast forward to, of course, Dana White taking over and his business partners, and then changing it into an actual business. So I guess that my point was for this whole dialogue was just that, you know, you were coming in at that time when it was a little bit more rough around the edges, right?
100%. You couldn't have nailed it better. Thanks for interrupting, because I relate to that 100%.
Okay. What does one do to become a promoter of MMA, if I may ask?
Well, here's what you have to do, as I carry the story on.
Okay.
There was a Gladiators of the Cage group, mm-hmm. and there's this Ray Reamer. He's my best friend. He was a sound engineer for Judas Priest, Def Leppard, Kansas, Rush, Journey, Foreigner, all these bands for 25-some years. And a friend of his asked him to found MMA. We just did an interview. I do a special talking machine interview show of 29 minutes. And he was talking about, his buddy asked him, how about doing MMA? And he's into music. He goes, what band are they? He didn't even know. And he founded Gladiators of the Cage. Now we have a big venue near the Steeler Stadium called Stage AE. I don't know if you've mm-hmm. been to Pittsburgh. And it's well known. Guess what? He founded this. They had one show at a Shriner Center. They sold it out with like 700-800 people. They went to Stage AE and sold it out for over 1,100-1,200 people 6 times in a row. But his buddy forgot to pay him for setting up all the production, the light shows, you know, everything, even got it on TV. So he left, and here's the saga coming to an end. He was disgusted with MMA. We're friends. We talked about it. Last year, I go, my co-host Smokin' Jim that I've done Pittsburgh Sports Line with, it'll be 13 years. We always talked about, John, we see these promoters, and we see these trainers running it, and with your little smile, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. I do. I know exactly where you're going, because as my listeners know, coming from indie pro wrestling, this sounds all too familiar.
Well, guess what? Ray loved NWA. His nickname is Road Warrior Ray. He knew the Hawk and everybody else and all these guys. He just hung out with all the, you name a wrestler and he hung out with them. Plus he was doing bands. So he wanted to combine, listen to this, NWA with MMA. So he created the concept, and they were selling out Stage AE. And so I told him, he hated even talking about MMA for like 10 years. So I revived him, and he goes, hey, Al, if you want to do MMA, I'll consult and set up production for you. That's how you become an MMA promoter. You get a successful guy that did this from scratch. And he told me, you own the company and I'll consult and guide you and give you help.
Well, and then I noticed too, you know, that you're very open about it, that you are, of course, in good standing with the Athletic Commission in Pennsylvania. And obviously you got all your ducks in a row, because as I was joking and didn't mean to interrupt you, but
go ahead. It's your show.
I've been on wrestling shows where I've seen things from promoters that I'm like, that's not right, you know, or I've heard things about, oh, you know, didn't pay this or didn't pay that venue, or they skipped out on paying the talent. And I know what you're talking about. I know it wholeheartedly. I'm sad that it still happens in MMA or in pro wrestling, but
it's even worse than you can imagine here in Pittsburgh, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Here's what I do with my Pittsburgh Sportsline show. It's an award-winning show. You can find it on YouTube, not bragging, just saying. And I've interviewed all these guys. And what my thing is, I was a good pitcher, but I had to work hard. Nowadays, they go with a pitch count. John, I would practice 5 days a week, and I would pitch one or two games a week. And I didn't have arm trouble. And I had success, no hitters, strikeouts. I had a fastball. My catcher's hand would get bloody because back then they didn't have gloves inside the glove. Yeah. I had to put a rag or a towel. And they still kept catching me. And the coach is like, attaboy. So I appreciate the hard work, wrestling, MMA, even though wrestling scripted and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be athletes. So my thing is, I naturally promote other people. And my goal is, we call it, there's a new way in MMA, because we're going to respect the fighters. We're going to make champions on Coliseum Combat Zone of the new MMA guys and girls that come up. We're trying to have 3 girl fights on our card. We already got 1 pro fight set up with women, and we're trying to get 4 pro fights and 10 amateurs. So we're all about the fighters and putting them in the best light. Like, I'll go a little bit into it since you go, how do you get into it? Get all your licenses, line up all the ducks, because we see all the people misrepresenting everything, right? It's a misrepresentation. Like, they'll go, hey, kid, we'll take care of you. Then if they're pro, they cheat them on the pro. If the amateurs have to travel, they're not paying their expenses. We're set up to do all that. And that's what we're doing. We want people to know we're legit. We're here to stay. We plan on doing 2 MMA events a year. And a little tease for 2025, we have boxing trainers that said, when are you doing boxing?
Okay.
So that may be another show down the road. Just saying, John, I'm not working you yet.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the inaugural event. It is slated to happen September 14th. So a couple of weeks from now. Doors open at 6. The fight start at 7. The event is going to be held at the All-American Fieldhouse out in Monroeville, Pennsylvania. And for those that don't know, Monroeville is kind of a suburb of Pittsburgh.
Yes, it is. It's east of Pittsburgh, and it has a big Monroeville Mall. And one thing we're going to have is free parking. Let me put up my flyer for show and tell. Could I do that?
Sure. We'll talk about it. We're audio only, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to put it up for you and you can read some of the things without looking straight on with me.
Okay. So
how's that?
That'll work. We'll make it work, Alan. Talk to me about the event. You obviously probably have had a very good burst of ticket sales already. Yeah. Are you close to selling out?
No, we're not. We're having a lot of nefarious things happening by somebody else.
Oh.
And okay. I can't get into it because it could be some legal ramifications with the state. You have experience with other things like that. I hate to even talk about it. I'm that optimistic guy that if you say you can't do it, I'm going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what they're doing because we're doing it all right. We have a best MMA matchmaker, Nicole Castillo from Canton, Ohio, right outside Canton. She's been doing it 19 years, and she's putting it all together for us. We're about halfway there right now with about four or five other in the channel. And to explain to people that might want to start as an MMA promoter, I welcome you aboard. Come on. You're welcome. But going through the state with all the paperwork, blood tests, physicals, and even if you're over 35, you got to get a neuro test, and that costs money. And a lot of these are younger kids, and they don't have the money even for a doctor visit or some, you know, blood work. So it's a struggle. So it takes a lot to do that. And we're willing to work for it up to the last minute and get them on. I'm going to have a program. But, hey, if we have to add to it, we're going to do it. And we just want to get – here's our goal. We got a concert atmosphere, nonstop. You know how you've been to fights and wrestling. There's music for the walk-ins and things like that. Mm-hmm. We're going to have music before fights, in between ring announcing, and nothing to clarify. We're not crazy. When they fight, it'll be silence.
Well, you also, from what I did some research, you also have basically you got a whole setup for entrances. You know, you got laser light, you said.
Yes.
That I read.
Multicolored lights.
Yeah.
We have, you'll like this, we have a cage set up in the center, and you'll come in from the right. We had to rent a whole soccer field. We're only using about 10,000 square feet. We're trying to get between 1,000 and 1,500. I'm optimistic, but we have certain costs, and that's why we have pricing of tickets as low as $50 for general admission, $75 for reserve, and we got about 100 seats for VIP, $125. If they want to buy a table, it's $800. So I'm not selling. I'm just saying. And mm-hmm. you can check us out, Coliseum Combat Zone. It's updated. We've expanded our website. You can go there. It's easy to click on. If you have a fighter you like, copy and paste it, put it in and order tickets. And I'm offering a 30% commission from one ticket to $399 for all the fighters, amateur or pros. If they sell 400 tickets, 40% for whatever. So my thing is, if I can help a fighter to afford to do some things and win, he can sell more tickets and his fans and friends and family and let him make some money. Mm-hmm. If a kid makes $500, say he makes $1,000, how cool is that at 20 years old?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm putting it out there that we're different. I don't care about me. My ego is so big. I'm confident. It's good. I'm not going to be, you know, bothered by anything. Little bump in the road. Get away from me. You know, we'll just move on. But if I can help these young men and women to stay with something they love and they're good at it, let them have a chance after a couple years. Mm-hmm. Give them something to look at. Like, here, start out as an amateur. Now you're in our top four for pro fights. You're going to make money, and then you got ticket sales, and you're doing it.
Would you care if a fighter who's been with you for a couple of years comes and says, I got an opportunity elsewhere?
Let me tell you this.
Obviously, you wouldn't hold them back. You'd say, you have my blessings.
You already know what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and good luck.
Yeah. Okay.
And just like – I'm not worried. Like, I'm Pittsburgh centric. You know, we are in Pittsburgh. We're proud champion, city of champions. We're crazy. I'm not the ugly guy. If there's people, we have people coming from Denver, Ohio that are going to fight. I'll wish them luck and I'll treat them the same. Everybody's getting a 30-second interview pre-fight that'll be before their fight on our large screen TV, 16 and a half feet by 9 feet. Who's doing that? I'm going to be doing that for them. So let them go at it and let them have fun. And then we're hoping they like it because we want people to be consistent. And if you lose, you can come back again because we're not given participation trophies. We get a medal for the winner and we get a trophy for the, you know, fight of the night. And that's how simple it'll be. And we're fair to everybody. If you have a question and you got a problem, talk to us. Let's try to work it out. If you have travel trouble or, you know, we set up hotels if you come out of town. If you live here and say you're an hour and a half away in Pennsylvania, maybe we can work something out for you.
Well, let's talk about some of the matches that you already have signed. And I'm just going to read them off real quick. Cheyenne Hall versus Krissa Timms. Elijah Davis versus Zachary Westland.
We'll stop right there.
Okay.
Two of the fighters, Cheyenne Hall is a fiance to Chris Dempsey.
Okay.
She's a great woman fighter, and she's honored. She's with Matt Factory, and so is Elijah Davis. He's from Matt Factory. So we have one of the top gyms in our area, the Matt Factory Wrestling Club. Isaac Greeley that owns it, they support us. Chris Dempsey's there. They support us in this. So we have the community pooling together for their local fighters.
That's something that's really, really special because, you know, it's not very often you go to an MMA event, I'm sure, and you can go, hey, that guy's, he's like me because he's from my neighborhood, you know, or he's from my city, you know. So I think that's something cool to be proud of.
Well, John, you know that I'm a thinker and I'm a planner. I'm like a chess player. I'm looking about 5 to 10 moves ahead. Mm-hmm. So that's why we contacted all the gyms beforehand and we told them what we're doing. Every one of them said, we can't wait to fight for you. So we're trying to get all that together. But then, as you know, with wrestling, sometimes matching people is more difficult than saying mm-hmm. we're fighting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And well, you could tell me many stories. I know that.
Oh, I can. I can tell you.
Give me one that you know. Do you have one that would pop up? I'm testing you.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention names because I
no animosity. Here. No.
But I had to deliver a finish to a couple of wrestlers because I was helping with the booking.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, this is what we would like for the finish. This is how we like the match to end, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And one got a little upset with me. He's like, oh, so would you like to tell me what to do at the beginning of the show? I'm like, oh, yeah. dude, time out. That's not what this is about. I'm not telling you. You figure out how to get to the end. We trust you to figure it out to get to the end. I'm just giving you the end. Oh, okay. I don't like, you know, and he kind of gave an excuse. I'm like, dude, it's all good.
You're getting all excuses, right?
Yeah. I'm like, whatever, dude. I'm not trying to be that guy to tell you move by move what to do. You're a professional. You do it. Just make sure that the match ends this way. That's all we ask.
Right.
So it can be, I understand where you're coming from. It could be because you want to have a good match. Whether it's wrestling or if it's MMA, you don't want
– Or even boxing. If you go to boxing and my thing is I have an open mind that the problem I have, I grew up in an era with friends that were Golden Glove fighters, and they weren't always Golden Glove fighters. They would fight anybody, so sometimes they didn't qualify for Golden Gloves. But they were happy to be challenged. In this day and age, John, no offense meant to anybody – but if they're 4 or 5 and 0, they don't want to fight certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to make matches for them. So not that we're running into that, but it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to get 14 matches. And as you know, with wrestling and other sports, sometimes somebody can't make it. Somebody, you know, can't show up. Somebody gets sick. Somebody gets hurt. So if we get 10 or more fights, we'd be happy with that.
Well, let me run down just a couple more that are on the
card. No, go ahead. And if I know them with a local group, because a few of them I don't at this point, because they're maneuvering around.
Well, you have Tobias Taylor taking on John DeJesus.
Yes.
Faith Nichols versus Tatiana Santos. And I think the last one that's been advertised so far, Brian Hess versus Isaiah Smith.
Well, you did perfectly. Brian Hess, I was just at Stout Pittsburgh. They're the top MMA gym in Pittsburgh with like four or five gyms. I was just down there. We're trying to get videos of the fighters and the location. So I went there and filmed a little bit, try to get 20-second, 30-second clips. We're going to put on Facebook, Instagram, and maybe TikTok just to promote Coliseum Combat Zone online. Go to website, Coliseum Combat Zone. Everything's on there. It's updated. The fighters are on there. We just got another fighter, this Skylar Mitchum, and another guy fighting. So we just got that approved today. So right before we spoke, so I couldn't get that picture or anything to you. It just happened. But we're moving forward with it. Mm-hmm. We're all excited. And I have to share this. I'm a bit of a character. So my co-host is a 6X large powerlifting black man, my best friend, Smoking Jim Frazier. I got him in a black tie tux with a black top hat. He's done ring announcing like you and others. Mm-hmm. And he gets to be a very boisterous, entertaining guy, to say the least. And people love him, and he just handles it, and he's excited. People don't call me Al anymore. They call me Machine. They go, Machine, I can't wait to do this show. So we're pumped up about it. You know, it's going to be an unusual show because it's going to be entertaining. There's a courtside cafe, and there's this famous DJ's barbecue and ribs that's out of West Virginia. And they're providing the food, beverages, and alcohol for anybody over 21. And I'm not centric to just adults. I have it welcome for all because I want families, I want kids, brothers, sisters, whoever to come and enjoy their relative fighting.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Alan for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, comic book supplies, you name it, they got it. So, if you're in Central Ohio, you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. So one little footnote about the event is that I read that a portion of the proceeds of the event will benefit the National Kidney Foundation.
Yes, sir.
Which you shared that you needed to have a kidney transplant, about four or five years ago?
To inspire you and others.
Okay.
All right. It's a little bit of a story. You know I'm
That's
a talker.
Fine. Go ahead.
All right. I turned 60 years old. I'm in pretty good shape. Some women call me handsome. I'm not going to brag, but some say that. So I'm 60 years old. My daughter goes to me. You'd love her. She goes, Dad, you're old. You better go see a doctor. She goes, why haven't you gone? I go, Casey, I got a cemetery. I walk 45 minutes a day. I do some yoga. I do some stretching. I do some working out. I'm in pretty good shape. She goes, Dad, you haven't seen a doctor. I go, Casey, Pap died after a heart valve replacement with sepsis. I went to sue the doctor, and that was my PCP. The Pap was all right, so I was upset, John. It bothers me to this day, but he was okay. He died 2 months before his 80th birthday, and it was on Father's Day. So you talk about an emotional drag, mm-hmm. and I'm an optimistic guy. That's a little tough to take. So then my son got out of the Navy a couple years before, so I'm 60. And he goes, Dad, he's 6'1", 250. He's like, Dad, you're freaking old. You better go see the doctor. So I'm stubborn. Took me 9 months. Now it's February like 17th of 2017. I go to my daughter's PCP. John was 5 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And here I put it off for 9 months. So I called, they're stubborn good and they're stubborn bad. Why it's stubborn bad then? And the doctor goes, hey, you look in good shape. We'll check your blood pressure. We'll get some blood tests. And we'll be back, you know, half an hour or so. Here's a right hook. He goes, you got some blood pressure. You got some cholesterol. We can solve that. You got stage 4 renal failure.
Well, no.
I'm like, doctor, what's that mean? He goes, your kidneys are only functioning at 15%. He asked how you're peeing. Do you have fatigue? You know, do you have pain in your back? John, I had no symptoms. I found out years later one out of three Americans don't know they have chronic kidney disease, CKD. I had it, and there's no history in my family. I have heart disease, but no diabetes. Those are the two things you have. I had a stress test, the EKG. They showed me I have no heart disease. They don't know how I got it. So now, me being me, you know, I had to ask this, Doc, can I get a second or third opinion? He goes, get whatever you want. I want you to feel comfortable. But if you, here's what he told me. So this really triggered me. He goes, if you don't see a nephrologist, you could die. Now, here I'm in there, not a care in the world, thinking I'm fine. And he tells me that. So I'm like, I believe in God. So I believe he wasn't ready for me yet. I got more to do. So I get a second opinion, same, third opinion, same. I call the doctor, what's a nephrologist? Go see her. Every month, you know, I get blood work, blood pressure. They test me. And she goes, how are you peeing? It's always good, no pain. And after 6 months, I'm a patient guy, so it wasn't 1 month. So I go, hey, doc, will I ever get better? She gave me a one-word answer, no. I'm devastated. I go, what's the plan? Because, you know, I said I always look ahead. Yeah. I'm like, what's the plan? I'm eating right. I'm staying healthy. She threatened me with dialysis every month. I go, I'll do it. But I was at 15% the whole time. So now it's a little funny here, but I got to get a physical. I got to get EKG, stress test, and a colonoscopy. Now I'm 60 years old, right? I go, there's no colon cancer in my family, and I hate to argue, but I don't want anybody doing a colonoscopy on me, even though I know you should. So they go, if you want a transplant, you have to get one. So I go, okay, I get it. Went in there. It wasn't that bad. The doctor said everything looks good. John, here's the funny part. 2 weeks later, the transplant people call me up. They go, Mr. Levine, so now I'm worried. They go, we can't accept your colonoscopy. It was too cloudy. I go, excuse me, it's hilarious, right? So I go, the doctor said it was good, and the lady goes, not for our standards. You got to call your doctor and get another colonoscopy. Oh, this is 2 weeks, right? So I'm a bit of a character, as people know, and my friends that listen to this. So I call them up, and I get the nice nurse, and I go, hey, this is Alan Levine, and I got a question for you. She goes, I remember you. I said, what's your name? She tells me. I go, yeah, we had a good time. I was, you know, happy getting it. And she goes, why are you calling me? I go, I missed you. She burst out laughing. And she goes, no, why? I go, give me the strong stuff. I got to clean out better. She goes, I'll send it in the mail. Long story short, got that, passed all the things. May of 2018, I get on the transplant list. They tell me I could be on there 6-10 years. Mm-hmm. December of 2018, my son, love him, Drew, he's my hero. He goes, Dad, I'm 6'1", 250 pounds. I'll give you my kidney. I go, I love you, but we got to go talk to the hospital. Great hospital, Starzl Monifier with UPMC. We got great hospitals here in Pittsburgh. Anything you need, we got R&D, great, great places here. So it took 9 months. We don't find out till August of 2019. And he's a perfect match. They do a physical, mental health test, everything. And he had two kidneys, because they even said sometimes people come in with one kidney, so they can't donate. Mm-hmm. So he had the two kidneys, could donate. And they go, when do you want to do this? I go, let me know when Dr. Tivar, great Indian surgeon, is available. She goes, September 6th. I go, no. I go, I worked in a union with guys that like to drink, do drugs, whatever else. She goes, are you saying our doctor's going to do that? I go, no. My personal opinion is if people have a Labor Day week, they celebrate that week. I don't want them doing my surgery.
She goes, that's a okay. Good point.
Yeah,
that's,
well, I'm just being honest, because this, I never had major surgery like that except for tonsils and adenoids, you know, mm-hmm. when I was a kid. So I'm in there, and she goes, well, we have the next week, Friday the 13th. I go, that's our lucky day. John, it was our lucky day. And my surgery was supposed to take 3 hours. My son was in there for an hour, and it's a little funny. I go, how's Drew? They go, you can't see him. I go, no. how's he? And they go, his kidney looks like it's ready to pump now. And he's good for you. And I go, good. I go in, it's supposed to be 3 hours. Another miracle. 9 hours of surgery. My artery, they put it in your stomach area and they had attached it to the artery. It was dissected and calcified. Now I had walked every day with it, never had any pain. And they had to cut 6 inches off of my artery. So it delayed the surgery till they thaw it out, then suture it and, you know, get it all put in together. And I got out and my daughter's with me and I'm in a waiting room and I'm yelling, was I kidnapped? Where am I? I see all empty liters, you know, with the beds. And the nurse goes, don't worry. He's been getting anesthesia and steroids for 9 hours. So he's a little wacky. And my daughter just goes, John, she grabs my shoulder and she goes, Dad, just shut up. But I felt like I was out of my body. Then I can't feel my right leg. It's numb from my hip to my ankle. And they didn't tell me till the next day what happened because the doctor had left. He was there all day from 5 in the morning. So he's gone. And then how about they told me this? I yelled at my son's orderly. He came in to talk to me and, you know, wanted to see how I'm doing because he heard I was out of surgery. I don't remember talking to him. So that night he goes, you got to apologize to him. I said, Drew, bring him in. And before I left the nurse in the waiting room, she goes, my dad's really a nice guy. She goes, most of them are. So I find out the next day and I meet a great nurse. This is one of my inspirational parts of the story. This nurse, Eric, a good guy, been there 3.5 years. He's telling me I'm peeing a lot and I owned racehorses at the Meadows, standard breds. And I go, am I peeing like a racehorse? He goes, yeah, you're filling it up. Well, here we had a full floor and he's getting called on the intercom. And he told me, because sometimes you get gas, sometimes you got to poop or get up. He goes, Al, you just call me. I'll be right here. I don't care about the rest. I'm coming here. He comes in on his break. And me being a sports guy like you, I go, you're talking about how much I'm peeing. What's an average person pee? He goes, 50 to 200 milliliters. I go, what am I doing? 5 times that, he goes. So you love this. I go, am I the urine champ? He goes, Al, tell everybody the urine champ. That's my story. And the National Kidney Foundation in Pittsburgh heard my story. They put me on their board of their biggest event that they have every March. Mm-hmm. So I help others to get a living donors. And I've had talks and be able to tell people that. And my thing is, we can help others. So why not donate to the Kidney Foundation? Because look, you didn't know it's a blood test that you could find out whether you're in chronic kidney disease, right? Mm-hmm. And anybody else listening, dozens of my friends, my age or older, I'm 68. They look at me in the eye, John. They go, you scared me. I go, good, go get a blood test. But no, you know, that's why I do it. Because to me, I don't mind helping others. And then I'm going to do a 50-50 for this Veteran Bushido Brotherhood. A Marine veteran started it. And I got 10 military people setting up my pre-show and seats and setting everything up, plus the other crews. I'm going to do a 50-50, and half will go to the winner, and the other half won't go to me. It'll go to Veteran Bushido Brotherhood. That's how I operate. So I'm not an egomaniac, even though I'm very confident. I want to help others. And what I'm trying to do is build a foundation to grow this with other people joining us. And that's what I want. I want them, John, to have an opportunity where they wouldn't have known where to go. And now they'll have a place.
That's admirable. Very admirable.
Thank you.
Quick, though, because I want everyone to know that the website, ColiseumCombatZone.com, it's got all the information you need, the fights, matchups, I should say, excuse me. Where to get tickets, all types of information.
Okay, yeah.
Again, ColiseumCombatZone.com.
The key is go to Coliseum Combat Zone. That we're sharing it. I have a Facebook page with 6,700 close friends. And, you know, my daughter says I'm a celebrity. I'm just having fun. So I post it up on there every couple of days. And we put the flyer up that you've seen. We put that up. And it shows some of the bullet points. We'll let it go. And if they go to Coliseum Combat Zone, you can just click on the link for tickets and it'll show you everything. It'll even talk about, you know, some of the setup that we have there. Like I've explained, two large screens, food's available, alcohol's available, and we'll have a 20-minute intermission in between that. And it's going to be a fun time. We're going to have a lot of, you know, what fight music is with different wrestling and things. And we got different bands that, you know, Ray's going to have a list for our DJ. We got a great DJ. It'll be just a great atmosphere for people to come out, and it'll be an enjoyable night.
Well, let's talk real quickly because we've touched base on it. Every Tuesday night, you host Pittsburgh Sports Line through the Bethel Park
Public Access TV,
television station. You got any upcoming episodes that people should be aware of? Really good episodes they should go back and watch.
Well, I have about 1,000 shows, and we have Smoke and Jim with me, and we have a couple other people with us that we interchange some hosts. Because we have a panel of four, John. So normally you'd think there's like two, and you know, sometimes on ESPN you see three and they bring people in. Well, we were doing shows at different bars and restaurants, but since COVID, we can't get people to say they can wait on us if we bring 30 to 60 people into a restaurant. So we've been shut out of that. So we live stream our shows. It's available on Facebook and our YouTube channel. If you go to Pittsburgh Sports Line, I'm selling you on, we need likes on the page, subscribe. We're at like 284. We're trying to get up to 1,000. You know how you need to get that. So we're about that. But here's what we talk about. We bleed black and gold. And so we talk Pirates, talk Steelers, especially with the season, talk Penguins throughout the year. And then we talk high school and college ball. And you got a Wheeling hat and you got the, you got WVU playing Penn State. My son, Pittsburgh Drew, he's loved WVU. We went down for a backyard brawl. I think it was 2006 or somewhere around then. Pitt was playing them then. And we go to halftime. I bought hot chocolate. We were frozen. It was so cold in the stadium. The wind's blowing. I like to stay for games, even when like Pirates are getting blown out 18-8 and stuff like that, or Steelers are losing. I stay for the whole game. I broke my rule. I said, hey, Drew, let's go right after halftime. He goes, no, I'm not leaving. This is my team. We're staying. I go, well, let me get a hot chocolate. So I leave him there. He's watching the band. I get the hot chocolate, set him down. We're watching it. Third quarter starts. I go, how's your hot chocolate? He goes, it's frozen. Check yours. I go, I didn't. It was solid as a rock. But we had a good trip. We ended up leaving before the fourth quarter. Pitt came back and beat West Virginia that year.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was disappointed on the ride home because we're listening to the game. And that hour trip home was a terrible one. But yeah, on Pittsburgh Sports Line, we talk national sports. I even talk about Caitlin Clark. You'll like this. Mm-hmm. I talk a little outside the box coming from a basketball family with a referee and a pro basketball player. My dad would say they're running too much in the 90s and 2000s. He refereed from 59 to the early 80s. He called me on the phone when we're watching. Do you see that walk? You see that foul? Now you got Caitlin Clark. I said that when she goes to the WNBA, and you can check the film on it, as my coaches would call it, the film, the football coaches. And I said that WNBA is going to ride the Caitlin Clark wave. They're going to have more people watching and sell stuff. And I'll even watch games. I never watched a WNBA game until she played. And look, they've had 2.45 million watching her play. And how do you move from 5,000 stadiums to 15,000 to 17,000 away games with that? So I predicted, and my other co-hosts, they bust my, you know what, chops, that why are you doing that? You in love with her? I go, no, she's a one of a generational player like we talked for earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she is. So we're open-minded on my show. And some people call me the ringmaster because we have three different other guys talking, and I make it mesh together. It's actually a pretty good show with how it flows, and we agree to disagree, because you know, in sports, brother, if you got an opinion, you love my statement. We never let the facts get in the way of our opinions.
That's right. As sports fans, that's how it goes. All right. Well, let's take just a couple minutes to wrap up with a few more questions. Alan, so you've already kind of tipped your hat a little bit and said February 2025, there's going to be an event coming.
Yeah, we're looking at doing it if it's available. So, yes.
Okay. Are there any other events on the horizon maybe before February or maybe after February?
Well, I'm going to blow your mind on this because you're not even expecting it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And it's not a sports thing, but Coliseum Combat Zone with my buddy Ray being a great sound engineer and production engineer for bands. I have a friend who's a jazz singer. You can look it up. Jessica Lee Jazz, great singer for 20 some years, beautiful outside, beautiful inside. And she has a new program called The Wisdom of the Blues. I'm doing a show, a concert with 700 seats with Jessica Lee and a quartet. And it's going to be The Wisdom of the Blues at the Shriner Center in Cheswick. It's an opulent place, nice arena-like, and it has just rich-like feel. And mm-hmm. We're going to have food and wine, and anybody's welcome to this. So that's coming up soon, November 2nd, and that's from left field there. And that's what we're doing. But here's the other, just a tease. I went to this boxing match. It was under our Homestead Grays Bridge. It's a huge bridge, and they honor the Homestead Grays that were a great baseball team in the Negro Leagues. And we were under there, and we had 16 fights. I had five or six trainers go, when are you going to do boxing with Coliseum Combat Zone? Here's the tease. Watch for next year. We may do a boxing show or two, depending on, they're a little bit more tribal than the MMA. So we may have to get the tribes to get together to maneuver.
Okay.
But that could be in the works, but we're seriously focusing on the MMA. We want to get two events, if not February, maybe the spring and summer or late summer again, and just to mix it out to give these young MMA people and even the older ones in their 30s and whatever opportunities to become champions in Pittsburgh. And that's what we're promoting, these fighters.
It's remarkable what you're doing, Alan. And so therefore my last question, I feel it ties into everything we've talked about.
Okay.
Obviously you're very successful. So how do you measure success in your own personal opinion? How do you sit down and look yourself in the mirror and measure success?
Here's what I believe, having a strong faith in God. I grew up Jewish. I found Christ in my life, and believing in God and practicing what you read in the Bible and what you're told. Like, I don't believe all this political stuff with talking about religion and not liking and hating people and people telling you they're Christian, when I just go by one thing, John 3:16. And that's my inspiration with what I do. I've been in God's hand. Look, architectural engineer, small college football, I'm stacking bundles in the most boring job that paid well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been blessed by that. And have I failed at things? I can't describe all of them because I'm the guy, John, if you had an idea, I would say, let's do your idea. And guess what? I would try to figure it out. And some of them failed. And I've had a lot of little successes and great successes in the past. A couple scars. I won't show them. Let me tighten up a little bit. They're out there. And here's my thing. Don't ever quit. If you have an idea, if your family tells you you don't know what you're doing, if your friends tell you you don't know what you're doing, you're on the right track.
All right, let's run it down one more time here real quick. It is September 14th, the inaugural event for
Coliseum Combat Zone.
There we go. It is September 14th. The fight starts at 7 p.m. Doors are at 6 p.m. out in Monroeville, which is right east of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
The All-American Fieldhouse. Yeah. And again, ColiseumCombatZone.com, probably the best place to go right now. Grab some tickets if you're in the area. Or heck, if you're not, you know, Pittsburgh's a pretty reasonable commute. You know, if you're in Cleveland, Columbus, if you're out there in Philadelphia, it's a pretty reasonable commute. You can make it a like a weekend trip. and have fun. Here,
let me interrupt you on that great sales pitch and promotion. Thank you so much. We even have some people from Altoona and Johnstown saying they're going to come to the fights.
There you go.
You tied right into it. Thanks. Yeah. So don't be afraid to travel. We are telling you, you'll see a great show. We want winners here. We want the best fights we can get. And I'll tell you, our seating starts 10 feet away from the cage. So you'll have good seats. And with the large screens, John, no matter where you are, you'll see replays and you'll see all the fights.
Well, there you go.
ColiseumCombatZone.com.
There you go. Plug that website one more time.
ColiseumCombatZone.com.
Alan, it's been fun. And thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me.
Hey, special thanks to you again. I appreciate you more than you could realize because any help is appreciated by me. And I wish you well in all that you're doing. And I've heard great things about you. So God bless you and what you're doing. And thank you for this great interview. And we went past 45 minutes.
That's okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, I'll be back in just a few moments to wrap up the episode. So I'm going to throw it to a quick break right about now.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with the talking machine, Alan Levine, talking about Coliseum Combat Zone MMA, his promotion, his baby, if you will. And if you get an opportunity and you can go out next Saturday, September 14th, do so, man. Go to ColiseumCombatZone.com, get tickets, get the information as to how to get there. If you're a fan of MMA, I think you should check it out. Once again, it's at the All-American Fieldhouse in Monroeville, Pennsylvania. It is, again, September 14th, which is just about a week away. Doors open at 6, fights start at 7. You heard about all the amenities, all the cool things going on with the event from Alan himself. So definitely check it out if you get the chance. I think, again, if you're an MMA fan, there's no excuse for not checking it out. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you choose to do so. Well, first of all, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just search for @pvdcast. And you can even still find me on Twitter. By the way, I'm calling it Twitter from now on. I think that I'm tired of flipping flopping from X and Twitter. I'm just calling it Twitter because that's what it was called a few years ago when I signed up, and so I'm stuck with that in my mind. So it's going to be Twitter. You can find me on Twitter. The Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. Sorry, I got sidetracked there with my own rant, but nonetheless, let me tell you where you can find the PVD Cast if you want to tell some folks about it. First of all, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the best place to get each and every episode. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets like Spotify, like iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, etc., etc. All you have to do is go to the search bar of your favorite podcasting app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you are indeed using one of those apps to listen to your podcast, give me a great rating, if you will, all right? Give me a good review. It helps me out in the algorithm, all right? And it's super important for independent podcasters to get that algorithm going in the right direction. And hey, while you're at it, you might as well subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. But you know what? Let me tell you about another avenue where the PVD Cast is available. It's available on the Facebook page at PVD Cast every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a little live broadcast of the week's episode, and people are loving it, okay? I tell you right now, I have had so many people over the last 3 or 4 weeks tell me that they enjoy listening through the Facebook page because it's so easy for them, and they're already on Facebook. So if you want to check it out again, at PVDcast, Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and enjoy the episode.
All right, it's time for me to get on out of here, ladies and gentlemen. So I will thank you one more time for checking out this episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. And most importantly, stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.